that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
X-Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
X-Go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our paper 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to another episode of The First Team. I am no longer dying from the sickness that I caught in Indianapolis. I'm Joe DeLeon. Joining me as always, NFL draft analyst, my good friend Ryan Roberts. Today, we're moving on to our next position group rankings episode. We're going to be doing linebackers today for the 2024 NFL draft. Not a very exciting linebacker group. You tweeted about this. You texted me about this, Ryan. Yep. It is a really bad linebacker class. And the funny thing is, in the past couple of drafts, we've had good linebackers and decent classes, but they've gotten pushed down draft boards really aggressively. I don't know what's going to happen this year. I don't know if there's going to be some overdraft on some bad players. I don't know if we have a crazy historic year where like seven guys is the most that get picked in the top 200 picks. I don't know. This is going to be a really weird year for the 2024 NFL draft.
Well, I would say this, Joe, is it doesn't have much depth, and it makes up for it by not having a lot of top-end talent either. So it's just not a great class, man. I mean, look, there's value to be found in this class, and there's a few guys that I really like in this class, especially when it pertains to what the consensus believe, right? I might be higher on a couple players comparative to what I've seen kind of just generally out there in the at least the media perception of these players and some of the NFL grades that we've gotten on these players in the past. But, you know, we'll work through it, but it's not a great class. And I think that the one thing that I would like to put out there just kind of for some context is there are still a couple guys I haven't gotten to that I want to get to before the class ends. I mean, like Jordan McGee from Temple's a kid that I know you watched.
I didn't get to him.
I didn't get a chance. You watched him in the summer, though, right? If I remember correctly, like you
peaked
in the
summer, I think. I would assume that he didn't improve very much if we haven't really talked about him. But he's a great athlete. He's a very explosive athlete.
So, but he's one, and then I haven't finished like Steel Chambers out of Ohio State. And there's just a couple guys miscellaneously out there. But we're talking about guys that sound more like depth of this class than like frontline guys, right? So, I mean, I'll say this. I don't know how many you end up having, but as of today, you know, again, a couple guys to finish, but I only have 10 draftable linebackers in this class. And there's a couple that we'll talk about today that like, they are very borderline draftable players for me. Right. So there's just not a great class right now, man. It's really not, it's kind of missing a star power up top and the depth is not great either. It's not,
I'd probably have like 12 to 13 and maybe that's just 'cause I'm being a little generous. I'm going to kick us off, though, with the way that we usually do this. I'm going to share my 10 through 6 for the class. Starting off at number 10, I have Trevin Wallace from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Number 9, this is going to piss off all the Clemson Jeremiah Trotter lovers. Okay. Jeremiah Trotter is number 9 for me from Clemson. Number 8 is Maris Loifau from Notre Dame.
Yeah, Maris number up there, huh? That's interesting. Oh, man. Sorry to cut you
did
off.
Did he not make yours? He didn't make yours?
I haven't finished him yet. So he's one of the other guys that's kind of like miscellaneous in the universe. But sorry, finish your lesson.
I mean, he's a big athlete, so that's kind of why he ended up on my board. Number 7, Tommy Eichenberg from Ohio State. Number 6 is Tyrese Knight from UTEP. Those are my last ones. BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Okay. Well, I want to start with Marist, I guess, since I already kind of jumped the gun there a little bit. Joe, I want to buy into the athlete so bad, man, because he is 6'2 plus, 235, 239, I think is what he actually weighed into the Senior Bowl. He dropped weight a little bit to run, but 34-inch arms. I had a scout that compared him to Frankie Louvu, who just got a nice little deal in free agency from the Carolina Panthers to the Washington Commanders. Like, he's a very intriguing kind of movable chess piece. He just kind of has the same thing that a lot of the linebackers have in this class. He just doesn't know what the heck he's looking at all the time.
He's pretty aimless. He's pretty aimless. And that's kind of why he makes my top 10, where I'm going to be honest with you here. And this is probably the least confident I've ever sounded on the show. This is a lot of dart throwing here. This slot is just like, yeah, sure. There's one guy in here that instinctually is actually really good, but is just not a very good athlete. And he's, not going to be a 3-down player in Tommy Eichenberg. All right, who's your 10 through 6?
10 through 6. Number 10, I have Curtis Jacobs from Penn State. Number 9, I have Tommy Eichenberg from Ohio State. 8, I have Jalen Ford out of Texas. Number 7, Tyron Hopper from Missouri. And then number 6, I have Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
Oh, I'm a lot lower on Trotter Jr. than you are.
Joe, you're a Trotter lover over here. I have a late 5th round grade on Jeremiah Trotter Jr., but he's my 6th ranked linebacker. To put that in the context of this class again, man,
that's interesting because I have the same grade on him. I guess that I'm a little higher on a couple of those middle of the pack guys.
I'm very picky at linebackers, man. We have discussed this over the years. I'm very picky on the second level. Very, very picky. And I usually do pretty well on the second level. So you might want to get your notepad out and take a couple notes here, man.
I'm gonna pass. To address Jeremiah Trotter Jr. before I get into my top 5, I really don't care. I think that anyone who likes this kid does not know what they're looking at. I really don't think that anyone who is super high on him and says this is a top 150 or better. Actually, sorry, let me be a little more aggressive. There are folks that claim that this is the top linebacker that say he's top 100 or better. He is none of those things. He tested well on the bench. That was about it. He didn't do any other athletic testing for a reason, because he is very clearly not a very good athlete. He is undersized. The play strength that he had in the bench reps does not show up on tape often, and his instincts aren't even that good. This isn't even a guy that makes up for a lack of athleticism and length and size like Tommy Eichenberg. Tommy Eichenberg's at least big, at least I know that he's got the frame to play Mike and to play 2 downs. I don't know what Jeremiah Trotter is going to do in the NFL. I have legitimately no idea what that guy is supposed to do. And he is the perfect example of somebody whose stats were pretty good and decent, but nobody wants to really acknowledge that he ended up being the right place at the right time a lot.
I think the Tommy Eichenberg, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. comparison's very interesting, because again, I had a 5th round grade on Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I have a 6th round grade on Tommy Eichenberg. So like, we're not far off there, right? I would agree that Tommy's a little bigger, play strength's a little bit more functional. I do think though that instincts in zone coverage favor Trotter though. I do think that's right. Like, I don't think that he's the most flexible athlete in terms of playing man coverage, but I think as a zone spotter, he has had some propensity to be able to get into passing lanes and to intercept passes and to break up passes. I just think Tommy brings nothing to the passing game. like zero.
And yeah.
Tommy was good as a blitzer at Ohio State, but I don't think it's translatable at all to the NFL. Like I just really don't. I actually think that Jeremiah Trotter as a blitzer is more translatable to the next level because at least he's slippery. Tommy's just beating dudes to the spot on the college level because he's a better processor than offensive linemen that he's facing against in pass pro. But I just don't think that that is going to overall be translatable. So again, not high on Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I am just the sixth guy in what I deem to be a very bad linebacker class. Like very, very bad.
Number five to start us off here with our top five. Cedric Gray from UNC is my number five guy. Very long, lean, explosive, great long speed, tracks the football very, very quickly. He's one of those guys that closes down very well. I am in love with the way that Cedric Gray plays in coverage. I think that he's a very good instinctual coverage player because he moves well in space. And he's got a lot of film of him making disruptions on passes. I think that this is an every down linebacker. Now, as we're going to say with a lot of these guys, instincts aren't always there. The instincts don't always really click, and he makes a lot of guesses and mistakes when he is deciding. But I've got a late third on him, and I think that Cedric Gray is somebody that you grab at the end of day two and could be a starting linebacker on your defense.
We're not too far off in this one, Joe. I have a fourth round grade on Cedric Gray. I don't dislike Cedric Gray. He's not my type personally, right? Like my type, because over the years, who have I gravitated towards? I've gravitated towards the Nick Boltons of the world, the incredibly good processors, the Leo Chenals of the world, a little bit of a different body type, but similar vibe as far as being able to instinctually understand and get to spots in a cohesive manner. I just think that Cedric Gray, because I agree with you, he's plus in the pass game. I think that he has good pass instincts. I think that he's incredibly explosive downhill. Like when he reads a gap correctly and gets downhill, he's explosive. He's fast. He can make tackles for loss because he is a very, very good athlete. But one, not only is my guy in the wrong spot a lot because his eyes just kind of stink, to be honest.
Yeah.
His hands also aren't very good either. Like, I think he has some shock in his lower half, and I think his hands have some shock in him as well, but he just his aiming points stink, taking on blocks. I don't think he's incredibly aggressive to get off of blocks consistently. Like, I just, I like him a lot more in pursuit in the run game because he can just run and be an athlete. When he has to play on the front side of runs or stacked from the inside, from a middle linebacker position, I just think the instincts aren't there to take on blocks and successfully weave through traffic a ton. But I also am at number five. I also am at number five because, again, in pursuit, athletic, pass game upside, fourth round grade on him. I don't dislike Cedric Gray necessarily. I just think that unfortunately with a couple of these guys, he's getting pushed up boards a little bit high because he is one of the athletic guys that you can hopefully build upon in a really bad linebacker class. Like that's just kind of my thoughts on Cedric.
Okay. So since we share a five here in this class, a guy that you already mentioned is my number four, Tyron Hopper from Missouri, 6'2", 221 was what he was listed at. I'm a really big Tyron Hopper fan. Now he's not the biggest linebacker, but I love the close down speed, and I actually think his eyes and his instincts are pretty good. I think that he is a quick trigger type of a guy that could be a really good wheel backer or outside linebacker in the NFL. Does, again, need to add a little bit more to his frame. I also was really impressed by how willing and able he is to take on blockers. So like despite him not being super big, he's still willing to go to war and fight things out with offensive linemen to track down the football and make plays on the ball. I just think Tyron Hopper, I forget what his testing numbers were. I'm going to pull it up in a second, but for I don't think he did.
Could be wrong.
Yeah. I don't think he did, but I just love who he is as an athlete. And I think a guy like that is somewhat moldable in the NFL and could turn out to be a really good player. Yeah. He didn't test.
So the one good thing is that Hopper weighed in at 231 pounds. One of my biggest criticisms of him on film was that I just thought he had a really slight frame. And do you agree with this? This is just my perspective on him. I think his play strength is kind of below average right now. Like, I don't think it's good. I think that he still needs to add mass to his frame, and it's good to see that he maybe did a little bit, but he just needs a little bit more shock in his paws and a little bit of a firmer lower half, I think. because here's a weird one, Joe. Sub 9-inch hands on him. I'm not making sense of that. I'm not saying that there's a negative to that. It's just kind of just looking through some of these measurements. I just think that the power profile needs to come with the frame still. I think he's a good developmental day three player for me personally. Like, I would be willing to take him in the fourth to fifth round range, somewhere in that ballpark, and let him contribute on special teams, which I think he'll be very good at. And then hopefully you have a starting Will linebacker in year three, year four. Like, hopefully that trajectory happens. I think the play strength was just something that kind of threw me off a little bit with Hopper.
You're number four. Yeah.
Number four, a player that made your list, but did not make your top five. I have Tyrese Knight out of UTEP. He was a guy that we talked about. Late third round grade. So again, I had Cedric Gray with a fourth round grade. I have a late third on Tyrese Knight. I really like Tyrese Knight a lot, man. He is a guy that we had on the show, obviously, but he was a young man that I feel like I'm going to be higher on than just about every media member out there in this realm, because he is just, I see so much of Dre Greenlaw in him, who is a great linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers. A little over 6 foot, not the tallest guy of all time, but he has plus length for his position, almost an 80 inch. Actually, I think he did have an 80 inch wingspan. So he has some legitimate length. And despite him not being the biggest linebacker of all time, I think there's legitimate pop in his lower half. Like, when he comes to balance in the run game, you feel him. And I think that his processing is mostly good, like solid to good, but there are some moments where I think he gets deceived with misdirection at times. But man, he has just a really good talent of understanding gap discipline, but also being able to understand how to manipulate that gap, get in the backfield. He also, I think, has plus instincts in the passing game as well. He can get into zones and drop, and he's had plenty of pass breakups over the last couple of years. I just think this kid's an ultra-athletic second-level defender that could play Mike in the modern sense, can play Will, has plus athleticism, and he really brings a pop when he comes to balance in the run game. So I'm a big fan of this kid. I think by year two, this is a starting Will linebacker, and I wouldn't be shocked if a couple years down the line we're looking back on it and saying, that might have been one of the biggest values in the 2024 NFL draft at linebacker, because you're probably going to get a starter in the third or fourth round, maybe even to the fifth, depending on how the board falls.
The only pause I had on him is that I just thought that his instincts were really inconsistent, because I watched two games on him. In one game, I thought he was super quick trigger, downhill, making all these plays. And then when he was off, he was really off. Like, his instincts were just all over the place, and he was guessing, and he was filling the wrong gaps. He would left open some pretty massive rushing lanes. So that's the only reason why I'm a little careful on him. But I do see that potential that you're bringing up. Edgerrin Cooper is my number three, Ryan, to jump in here for the next one. Man, if there's a guy in this class that pans out, ends up being a ridiculously gifted starting linebacker for a scheme creative defensive coordinator, it is Edgerrin Cooper. This guy checks every box that you're looking for in a NFL linebacker. He flies all over the field. He finishes really, really well. He is an explosive sideline to sideline athlete that is going to be able to cover a ton of space for you. But as we, again, the cliche with a lot of these guys, his eyes are all over the place. This is not a guy that you could trust to make a consistent decision on every single given play, because he is, you know, he's either going to track the ball down and attack downhill, or he is going to guess and go the complete opposite way. So there's a lot of carefulness that needs to be approached with somebody like Edgerrin Cooper, but I would take him somewhere on day two.
I am terrified, Joe, that we have the same top three. I'm absolutely I think that we do. I also have Edgerrin Cooper as my number three out of Texas A&M. He is a very abnormal body, because he's like Maris Loifau from Notre Dame, in the sense of he's about 6 foot two, a little over 6 foot two. He's about 235 pounds, but he's got 34 inch arms. Like, he is super long on the second level, man. But he ultimately, you know what you just said about Tyrese Knight, where it's like, when he guesses right, it's really good. Well, unfortunately, Edgerrin Cooper is also a guesser, right? Like, there are just moments where you're just like, that guy had no idea what he was looking at. He just split a gap because he wanted to be right, hopefully. And the eyes are just very, very consistent. This kid terrifies me, to be honest. Like, there's some pause that I have with Edgerrin Cooper, but he's a freak show athlete. Like, with 34 inch arms, the kid can run. He's explosive, getting downhill. He can work sideline to sideline, and he's very quick as well. Like, he can change direction well, in my opinion, as well. So I like the athlete, Edgerton Cooper. I would also be willing to take him somewhere mid day two. Like, I have a late second, early third round grade on him. So I'm right in the middle of day two. I like a lot of what he is, but I really hope whatever defensive coordinator drafts him, they kind of do what the Baltimore Ravens tend to do of, like, let's get these inside linebackers into attack mode and really get them downhill and kind of trigger them, self-trigger, you know, without really reading and reacting, really try to get them downhill. Because if you get them in that system and develop the instincts properly, I think you have a plus starting linebacker in the NFL. But there is a little bit of a boomer bust quality, in my opinion, to Edgerton Cooper.
He feels like a Baltimore Raven. Like, he feels like the round pick for the. Yeah, I feel
Patrick Queen's a free agent, right? Isn't Patrick Queen a free agent?
So, I mean, talk about comparisons that kind of fit there, comparing him to Patrick Queen. That could be a 1-to-1 there. I don't think that we have the same top threes. Number two for me is Junior Colson.
Okay. All right.
So he's number one for you?
He is number one for me. Yes, I love Junior Colson. Yep.
Let's talk about Junior Colson.
Let's do it.
Thick framed kid. Probably the most filled out linebacker of these top five guys that we're talking about. Like, he's really well put together, which is makes me feel good about him coming in and starting. I think that outside of Peyton Wilson, who is probably going to go later than I have him ranked because of other issues that we're going to talk about in a second.
Right.
He is probably the most ready to jump in and play right now out of any of these linebackers. He is somebody who I feel confident if I draft at the beginning of day two, the beginning of the second round, I know that I'm getting a starting Mike linebacker that is going to plug right in and is going to be really freaking consistent. If there's a guy, a linebacker in this class, which this does not a lot of competition for this, that ends up being a defensive rookie of the year candidate, I think it could be Junior Colson, because he could rack up a million tackles because he's super consistent. His reaction, his decision-making, his reactiveness is great. And he closes down really well. This is the prototype, I think, for the modern NFL's version of a Mike linebacker. And this is one of the few guys that, like, I don't feel really gross about bringing up, because I think he's going to be a great linebacker in the NFL.
Linebacker one, Junior Colson, 6 foot two plus, 230 something pounds. He was listed at 247, but I think he got down to like 239 for the combine. I have an early second round grade on him. I'm a big fan of Junior Colson. I remember watching him this past summer, Joe, because we watched him this summer, because I remember watching the Michigan defense, because they have, you know, obviously a lot of talent on that defense. I mean, there are several players on that defensive line are going to get drafted just this year, right? Talking about Chris Jenkins, talking about Jalen Harrell, talking about Brady McGregor, and then obviously they have Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant next year, a lot of defensive line talent. But I remember watching, and I'm like, who the heck is 25? Like, at that point, he was listed like 6'2", 225. I'm like, who the heck is that kid? He is moving. And quietly, he's led Michigan in tackles two straight years for one of the best defenses in college football. And I feel like no one talked about that. It was the most bizarre thing of all time. But this is a young man that I love, because he is one of the few players. I'm looking at it right now. He might be the only player that I would classify this way. He can play Mike. He could play Will.
Yeah.
With his ability to work in pursuits. And I also think if you are a heavy 4-3 base team that does play base a lot on early downs, especially, he could play Sam for you too, because he's got pretty good length and he's explosive and he could set a firm edge. I really like this football player, man. I think instincts are mostly good, right? Like, there's momentary lapses, but he is a really good combination of physicality, strength, pursuit speed, and pretty good vision, right? All those things together, I think this is a plus starting linebacker in the NFL that could play a variety of roles on the second level. Big fan of this young man that is probably the most underrated player in this class, but luckily, I think Daniel Jeremiah maybe had him as linebacker one. Like, somebody that's pretty plugged in had him as linebacker one. I think that we have undervalued him as a collective, not me or you necessarily, because we both have him as a top two linebacker in this class. But nobody was talking about this kid early, and you need to start doing it right now, because that kid was quietly a stud on the inside of the defense.
Wait, before I speak
what?
On this, before I say what I'm about to say. Okay, so summer scouting, do you know who...
No.
Do you know who had
no
Junior Colson as linebacker one in summer scouting.
Wasn't he a linebacker two for me? He was high though, right?
Wasn't he was linebacker one for me. Screw
Shut
you.
Up. Shut up.
I had him number one over Jamon Dumas Johnson. I had him number one.
Oh, I like Jim. Oh, I love Jamon Dumas Johnson. Then he went back to school and transferred to Kentucky. I don't know what the heck happened there, but yeah.
Well, he got beat out. The kid that's, I forget the kid's name that took over for
him. Oh, the freshman, right? CJ
Allen. That kid is going to be, that kid's going to be a monster. That kid is unbelievable. Yes. We'll probably be talking about him in 2 years. My number one, your number two, Peyton Wilson from NC State.
I don't have Peyton Wilson number two. I don't have him as number two. Just kidding. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Who are you gonna name? Steel Chambers? Is that who you're gonna
Chambers, baby? JD Bertrand. JD Bertrand. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, okay, good one. Peyton Wilson, though, at 6'4", 230-ish pounds, tests really well. Tremendously long, explosive athlete.
He's not that long. He's not that long. He's tall. He's not that long.
Sorry, he's tall.
Yes.
Minus, and I'll let you kind of shed, we've talked about this a lot, and actually, no, we don't even need to kind of rehash it because we did it in the scouting report episode on him.
Yes.
Peyton Wilson, without the medical issues, the serious medical issues, the injuries to shoulder, knee, all that stuff, would be, I think, a first-round pick. I think he would be good enough to go in the back end of the first round. He flies all over the field for a bigger linebacker that could play multiple roles, and I think is scheme diverse. I really do believe that Peyton Wilson has everything that you're looking for in the modern NFL linebacker and would be playing at a Pro Bowl, all-pro level. My biggest fear with him, and it's just so simple. How do I know that this guy isn't going to deteriorate and completely be out of the league in 3 years? And does he actually make it to his first through his first contract? Like this is a completely different reason, but I think of, who was the kid with the 49ers of like 5 or so years ago?
Chris Borland.
Chris Borland comes to mind. Yeah. Retired for a completely different reason, but like, how do I know that Peyton Wilson doesn't just get nagged with injuries in year three and say, you know what, I can't do this. My body just caught up to me.
Yeah. I mean, it is the risk here, and it's a legitimate thought, because we're not talking about a kid that had like one shoulder injury. We have talked about a kid that has had multiple shoulder injuries that have cost him the end of seasons, and on top of a ACL tear early on in his career. Right. So the good news is I have heard that, I believe the medicals actually passed, which is good. So like, I haven't heard any negatives on that.
I'm not a doctor, okay? But which is a horrible way to start a sentence.
Breaking news, Joe's not a doctor.
Even if these things pass and everything looks good,
right?
Injuries are still injuries. Like, I had a serious pec tear, and it's still, you know, I still haven't really gotten it back up to like full strength, and it's something that bothers me from time to time when I do things athletically. I think just when you've got multiple deteriorating injuries, and you might get the, yes, this guy can play, and it probably won't really hold him back.
Right.
I just get so afraid with guys that have a ton of injuries.
I get that. I think the good thing is that but the medicals have gone so far now that we're doing things like DEXA scan to measure like bone density and stuff like that. Like it's gotten really in depth. So I'm hopeful for it, because Joe, 2 years ago, literally 2 years ago to this date, I think I brought up Peyton Wilson. I'm like, I have an early second round grade on Peyton Wilson. Like just at that point, because the kid is, you mentioned it, 6'4". 233 pounds. He lost weight to run fast. And lo and behold, he ran 4.43 at the combine. Like, absolutely insane athlete, man. He is one of the rare dudes that he was a former 5-star, and he can make plays in coverage. He can play in pursuit. He can probably be a modern Mike in today's system, but like, I would rather him play Will. Honestly, he reminds me a lot of, and I'm still mad at Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network for taking my comp, but Kiko Alonso, man. Kiko Alonso is the player that I see every time, because he's tall, super high cut, but just range for days on the second level. And when Kiko was on early on his career, especially with Buffalo Bills, he was on, dude. He was a really good player. So I think Peyton Wilson is going to be a
plus. And he also deteriorated too. He was also one of those guys that deteriorated.
Yeah. You're not wrong. He got hurt, and then he went to Philly, and then he just wasn't really the same guy anymore. But when it was early and he was healthy, he was a really good player. And I am positive that as long as Peyton Wilson is healthy early on in his career, he'll be a really good linebacker on the NFL level. How long it lasts, that's why just a little bit of a backtrack and a little bit of a let's take a step back. And that's why I ultimately do have Junior Colson linebacker one over Peyton. But Peyton is going to be a really good player. Just the question of how long does he last in the NFL level, yeah. which is a very reasonable conversation to have.
Well, that's going to wrap us up, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Drop a comment below. Hit that subscribe button, and we're going to be back with interior offensive line as our next show. Thank God we're combining that into one show. Otherwise, that would probably be one of the worst, most unentertaining weeks of my life trying to watch centers and guards. But we'll be back with more at Joe DeLeon, at Rise and Draft. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.